Praise God. If you love the latter rain, give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. Glory to God. Amen. Sister Tabitha, have you ever sung tonight? Amen. Do you love Jesus?
Hallelujah.
Yes. Has he been good to you?
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Get Sister Jennifer to play one for me, but she's not ready. So she's gonna get there though, she can play anything. So she's gonna get it. I just want to say too, the message this morning was wonderful. I told Brother Eddie he listened to it this afternoon, Sister Penny said, but there's a song that Jeff and Sherry Easter sing that's called Small Town Someone. And it talks about the little boy that shared what he had and how he was thankful that God chose him to use his lunch to feed so many. And I couldn't help but just think about that song as he was doing that message. That's one of my songs on my list to learn how to sing. I'm going to get there. I want to tell y'all too that some of y'all know that I joined the Rock Mark course. And our first performance, which they've been doing it for years, but my first performance with them will be May the 2nd at 7 o'clock in the evening. So you're invited. I'll let y'all know where it is, but it's in Rockmart, of course. But I would love for some of y'all to come if you can. Y'all worship with me. Victory in Jesus.
E-flat.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came. Jesus.
on, give him a big old hand clap of praise tonight. Glory. Amen. I mentioned this morning that we went to a wild game supper last night. We heard the pastor speak, and he was asking prayer requests. There was probably 300-400 people, men, women there, mostly men, at this supper. And we had a prayer request for a gentleman that we've known for a long, long time who's in the hospital. And he has pneumonia, and he's had some other health issues too. And the pastor said, unless God undertakes, he might not take it. And he was able to talk to him. And the brother who was in the hospital told him, he said, I've had a good life. He said, I love my family, I love Jesus, and I love the church. And I couldn't have asked for anything more. And it made me think of losing some of my relatives. My granddaddy, not long before he died, he looked up into the left of the hospital room and he started clapping his hands. And he looked over at the family and he said, don't Mom and Papa look good? And Daddy, when he was in the hospital, before he went home under hospice care, I was able to stay with him at night. And he woke me up two or three different times during the night singing. One of them was When the Saints Go Marching In, and the other one was the one that y'all sung at the funeral. When it Swing Wide the Gate, but it was something close to that. But anyway, he was raising his hands and glorifying and praising the Lord, and I'd look at him, and then he'd go right back to sleep, and he'd do that. And I thought, when you know Jesus, and you know you're born again, and you know where your destination is, dying's not really that big a deal if you're ready to go, because you know what you're going to get when you get over there. Let's do G.
Life's been so good, I can't complain. When I'm down, God gives me strength to rise again. But I'm weary from the struggle of it all. So I listen, how I listen for His call. Heaven sounded sweeter all the time. Seems like lately it's always on my mind. Someday I'll leave this world behind. Heaven sounding sweeter all the time. I know it's hard to lose a loved one to the grave, but we have the blessed hope that Jesus gave. God's gonna wipe every tear from our eyes when we meet in that land beyond the sky. Heaven sounding sweeter all the time. Seems like lately it's always
testimony, a praise report. You'd like to just tell how good God's been in your life. Here's your opportunity. Anybody tonight? Has God been good to anybody? Sister Jenya, go ahead. this. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Do a... Dedicate this to all you who've had parents go on to be with the Lord. I wasn't going to do this, but I think I will. There's a voice missing from our little country choir. Rock of ages will never sound the same. God heard her singing, and heaven was not. Mama's teaching angels how to sing. Mama's teaching angels how to sing. Heaven calls her silence when Mama sings. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more pain, no tears. And thank God, there will be no more death. When we reunite, amen, with those loved ones who are gone, and even greater, when we get to see Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who bled and died on the cross of Calvary for us. How wonderful it will be to personally thank Him forever and ever and ever. If you have your Bibles tonight, we'll just go for just a little bit. I want to kind of talk to us tonight, if I can. If a preacher can talk without preaching, I don't know if that's possible or not. But in the book of Ephesians tonight, in the second chapter, the book of Ephesians, God has been gracious to us today. Man, there's just a warm feeling from this morning all through the day and then into tonight's service too. Just an overwhelming sense of love. And I never, ever want to take that for granted. I just thank God for His love, for His mercy, for His grace. In the second chapter of the book of Ephesians, I want to begin with verse number 19 tonight. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse number 19. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth up unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Amen. Can we bow our heads? Brother Chris, take us to the Lord in prayer tonight, asking God to bless his messenger. Amen. If you love the Lord, give him another hand clap of praise. You may be seated. As I said, for just a little while tonight, I want to speak to us on together in Christ Jesus. Together in Christ Jesus. If you would allow me just a little bit of time tonight, I want to go back and down memory lane for just a little bit and begin to tell you just a little bit how this church came to be. My granddaddy had pastored a church in Rockmart, Georgia for a number of years, and he was also working at night on the third shift, and his health began to go down just a little bit, and he thought it was time for him to resign the church, and he gave up the church, and he was probably the most miserable man that you would know after just a little while. And it wasn't long that he began to make preparation when his retirement came to start a church here in Villarica. And please just allow me just a little bit. I don't want to hinder, but I just want to kind of go into this before I bring tonight's message. And he wanted to start a church in Villarica. And he came down, and there were several folks that lived here in Villarica that were traveling to Rockmart to that church to support my granddaddy, many family members mostly, but there were a few other people as well. And so there was a pretty good core group of people to start a church down here. So they were excited. They got together and they went to a couple of places. I may have shared this with you before. One was here in Fullerville, and there was an old schoolhouse there. So they thought that would be the ideal place. So they made arrangements, contacted the necessary folks, and tried to rent the place. And the man was going to rent that to them. And then when time rolled by for us to, or for the church members then, I was very, very small at the time. Several of the neighbors had written a petition that they didn't want a Pentecostal holiness church in the neighborhood. So the landlord, the owner, the property owner backed out, and the church there was not able to have a church. They had already had a name picked out. They were going to call it Bright Star Pentecostal Church. Everybody was excited. I remember the elders were. But it didn't work out. So they moved up the street to a little block building, and they began to question there. And the man that owned the building was going to rent that to them. And the neighbors, again, signed a petition, no, we don't want that church in our neighborhood. So my great-granddaddy lived up here on Harlan Lane Road. So he said, it was springtime going into the summer. He said, why don't we just meet up at the house? And that's what they did. They got some folding chairs. They went out in the yard, and it was between the house where we used to live and my great-grandfather's house. And we met out there, Daddy's little six-string guitar, acoustic, and that's all the music that we had. And we met there for several times, but it was something precious to go out there under the stars and have church. And then it began to get winter time, so they took it inside the building. And they had really a small house, and we were all in their living room. And let me tell you something, when the power comes down in an enormous way, how many knows you need a little room? We didn't have room. And the Lord was really blessing that night. And by this time, I had my little electric guitar there, and I was playing along with Daddy. And the Lord got a hold of Daddy one night, and while he was leading singing, and he got to shouting and kicked a hole through my little amplifier. So I didn't have an amplifier anymore for some time. I had another amplifier. But then God made a way for us to get the little block building that is behind us now, that has now been completely refurbished and rebuilt. And from there, God gave us this particular building that we have now. And then my granddaddy was able to see, his desire was that they were able to burn the deed before he went home to be with the Lord. And God answered that prayer, and we had a burning of the deed. But he always wanted to get this adjoining property out here and never was able. He got a promise from the lady who owned it, said, if I ever decide to sell it, I will sell it to the church. I promise I'll do that. But my granddaddy didn't live long enough to see that come into fruition. But later on, the church was able to buy this adjoining property. And many, many of those precious saints of God have already gone home. Now, my grandparents, Susan's mom and dad, our aunts and uncles, my dad, many, many of those folks have already gone home to be with the Lord. But in tonight's scripture, I saw that the church is not the little folding chairs out there under the stars, nor is it at the place where we thought it was going to be, at Bright Star Pentecostal Church, or the little block building up there, but it turned out to be at the block building here, and then this building. But the church really is not the mortar and the wood and the carpet and the pews, but it's you. You are the church. We are the church. There's a spirit here. There's, even though I know that our loved ones and those precious saints of God have already gone home to be with the Lord, they have put building blocks in this church. I'm not talking about concrete. I'm not talking about brick. But they put building blocks into this church. And I begin to think about this scripture here and how the apostle was encouraging the church. And he said, you know, first thing he said was, no more are you strangers and foreigners. How many's glad to know they belong? Amen. You know, we didn't always have that feeling, did we? I don't know about you, but I have sat in church and felt very, very uncomfortable and felt like, I don't belong here. You know, I knew my life and I knew my lifestyle, and I thought maybe just it would ease my conscience or ease my mind just to come inside the building. And I could feel the presence of the Lord. I could feel it, the music when they'd sing praise and worship. And I love seeing my elders and all worshiping and praising the Lord, but I wasn't in touch with that. I was in the church, but I wasn't in the church, if you know what I'm talking about. I was not part of the body of Christ until I came, amen, to my senses, to my spiritual senses, and I came down to an altar of repentance, and I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save me and to fill me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it took a while, amen, for me to receive the baptism, but I began to feel a part of it then. And I remember asking my granddaddy, I told him, I said, I'm not going to feel right until I go down and get baptized. And he said, well, we get in a group together, and that little church didn't have a baptismal poop. So we went down to Harley Creek. Those of you that live in Rockmart know exactly where that is now. That's a little park. And we went down and we were baptized. The water had been raining a lot. The water was up. And we didn't have to walk very far to get dunked. I'm telling you, the water was really, really up. But then I felt such a sense of belonging. And I thank God for that. And then I happened to think, you know, it's not the church in Rockmart. It's not the building here. But it's the body of Christ, of which every one of us are a part of. And we're no more strangers or foreigners. One definition says we're no more outsiders. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful to know that the blood of Christ now, amen, flows through our veins, amen, through the redeeming power of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit, amen, that Jesus said, I won't leave you comfortless, but I'll send back a comforter in my name. How many knows how comforting that is to know that we are a part of the body of Christ, fellow citizens, amen, not only with the household of God, but fellow citizens with the saints of God. I said I wanted to talk to us tonight because I want to encourage us, amen, to be a close-knit family. The church is a family of brothers and sisters. We mentioned that this morning, all of the brothers and sisters. But I want us to understand that we are together in Christ. We are together as a body to love one another, to support one another, to lift one another up, to pray one for another. I like what was said. Even if we don't have children to pray for, we can pray for somebody's children. Amen. Even if we don't have lost loved ones, we can pray for somebody's lost loved ones. And when we get that cohesiveness, when we get that unity of the Spirit, we're going to see God bless more and more and more, because we're going to be coming, amen, in one mind and one accord, receptive, submissive, and obedient to the moving of the power of God. Can you say amen? Glory to God. And then it said it was built on a solid foundation. Amen. I think about the foundation of my ancestors, and I think about the foundation that they laid and how they toiled. I mean, many, many times we thank God that He has blessed us here. He's blessed us spiritually. He's blessed us materially. He's blessed us financially. Really, really, really got a lot to be thankful for. But I remember the day when the sisters of the church, in order to pay the electric bill, would have what they called it a rummage sale back then. Amen. It wasn't a yard sale. It was a rummage sale. And they'd bring together whatever they could, and they'd spend Saturdays out there selling stuff for $1 or $2 or whatever so that they could put it into the church to make the electric bill. And I remember going to the Krispy Kreme place and buying donuts. Some of you maybe shake your head or nod your head. You remember those days when we were trying to make ends meet and trying to have the church and try to pay the electric bill and all those things and buy Sunday school supplies. But God kept blessing, and I think of that foundation that was laid back then in order for us to be the recipients of what God has blessed us today. But the Apostle Paul is here is telling us we're built on a solid foundation, which is Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. The putty, the thing that holds everything together, is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if we want to be a true church, if we want to be a true family, if we want to be the true body of Christ, we've got to always know that Jesus Christ is that chief cornerstone that holds everything together. Amen. And when we push Him aside, then you'll begin to see the church begin to crumble. But thank God that this church realizes and knows who our Savior is, and we're thankful for what He did on the cross of Calvary so that we might be saved. Amen. And then we get to this part. And this part I love. He says, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth up, or groweth unto, an holy temple in the Lord. Listen to this. All the building fitly joined together, or fitly framed together. Bible history tells us that Roman structure was made mostly by laborers who were slaves. They'd spent their lifetime building these structures in the Roman Empire. And history tells us that these gigantic, huge rocks that they would bring to be part of the structure, they were turned and put into a perfect position where they fit exactly next to the other stone. They had a little bit of ability to cut stone and all, but mainly they would turn it to where it would fit. And I started, Lord, thank you. Has the Lord ever turned you? He has me. Amen. He's turned me and He's repositioned me so that I can fitly frame into the house of God. And I'm not talking about the wooden structure here. I'm talking about the family of God, because He has put each and every one of us where He wants to put us. Amen. Not necessarily where we want to be, but where we fitly frame together in building up a habitation for God. And we'll get to that in just a minute. And I thought how wonderful it was. And it went on to say this. How many knows what the big columns are in the Roman structure? I just thought that that was one huge piece of stone or one huge piece. But again, the Roman history tells us that it was made with long cylinders that were fitly framed together to give the concept or to give the idea that it was one particular structure. Now that's pretty good, isn't it? When you can fit several pieces together to make it look like one. Does anybody see any correlation with that with the Spirit? Amen. When one of us hurts individually, then we all hurt together. When one of us rejoices, then we all rejoice together. We're there for one another. We're that shoulder, amen, to lift up our brother, to lift up our sister, amen. And when you have animosity against one, then you've got it against the whole church, because we're one and the same together, amen, bound together by the Holy Spirit of God. And I thought how wonderful that was to know that there were several different pieces so fit together that it absolutely gave the illusion or the look that it was only one. Thank God. When they look at us, when the world looks at us, when Satan comes at us, let him understand and know, I'm not just fighting one person in that church. I'm not just coming against one individual, but I'm coming against the entire church. And when the entire church joins together in one mind and one accord, how many knows things can take place? God can get honor and glory. The church will be blessed. We'll see healings. We'll see anointings. We'll see a cohesiveness that we've never been able to see before, as long as we understand that we're built on the foundation of God. Growing up to a holy temple in the Lord. How many knows there's room for growth? Not only physical growth, but spiritual growth as well. You know, our number one goal should be to spread the gospel to the lost. Amen?
not necessarily to make them a church member. I'd love for them to be a church member. I'd love for them to have their name on the roll, but that's not our primary objective. Our primary objective is to get them into the body of Christ. Can I tell you, the body of Christ is bigger than the people that are sitting here tonight. Even thank God for that. There's a multitude of folks. The body of Christ is strong. It's vibrant. And guess what? God said, I'm going to always have a remnant. God's going to always have a people. Amen. Don't give up because you see people today who seemingly are unconcerned and don't want anything to do with church. They have all these kind of polls out. And some of the polls said they don't want to go to where it's called a church. They want to go to something that makes them feel good or like a social club or something like that. But thank God, they're still a church. Thank God, they're still a fitly framed together body of Christ. Amen. Growing up spiritually, praying one for another, helping one another, testifying and witnessing about the blood of Jesus Christ, the saving power of Almighty God. That's the word that we need to get out. Build it together. Now, there's two words there in verse number 21 and verse number 22 that I want us to look at. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. We're builded together for a habitation, a living space for God's Spirit to live within us. If we don't have the Spirit of God, then we don't have really anything. We could have the nicest structure in town. We could have the highest steeple in town. We could have the most congregation in town. But if we don't have the Spirit, we don't really have the church. Amen. We don't really have the body as a habitation, a place for God's Spirit to live within us. I thought about I believe it was David, and he was talking about wanting to build a temple or a tabernacle for God. And of course, you know, God wouldn't allow David to do it because he was a king, because of the blood that was upon his hands. He was called of God, but he wanted Solomon, David's son, to build the temple. And they built the most wonderful structure, immaculate structure that they possibly could. And all that's well and good. But let's look at that spiritually. Don't we need to build the most immaculate structure we can for the habitation of God? And that's talking about in the body of Christ. Amen. We need to be holy, as the Bible speaks. We need to be loving, as the Bible tells us. Love ye one another. Love your neighbor. Even love those that spitefully use you. If one thing, and I've said this time and time again, if one thing that can be said about our church family when people come in to visit, if they can say, I felt love there, then I think that we're on the right road. Amen. Because the Bible says God is love. And if they can feel love in here, then God's Spirit is certainly in our midst and in our building and in our family. So I want to encourage us. Treat one another like a brother and sister. Love one another. Amen. Stick by one another. And I want us to grow. I want us to grow spiritually, and certainly I want us to grow physically. But I think first, if we grow spiritually, then the physical growth will come. Because people will desire to be a part of some such love. Love acts like a magnet. It draws people. Man, that's what drew me to the power of God. That's what drew me to an altar of repentance. To know that God loved me enough to send His Son to die on the cross of God. For me, when I made it personal, and I'll give you that testimony before, when I could see Him on the cross of Calvary, knew that He did that for me, it made it personal because I knew that was the immaculate love of God. And that's what I want in this church. That's what I want just flowing from one to another. Love and help, binding together, helping one another, lifting one another, encouraging one another. We've had a lot of wonderful saints in the past who've already gone home to be with the Lord who were wonderfully good at just reaching out to folks. And I've said this before, we got to fill those shoes. We got to fill those shoes. We talk about precious Sister Irma and how Sister Irma was on the phone constantly. If somebody was out, she was on the phone calling, how are you doing? We missed you so very much. And everybody loves Sister Irma. But Sister Irma is walking the streets of gold today. She's gone to a better place. But who's going to step up? It's got to be some of us. We got to step up and fulfill those things and those obligations that it takes to be a vibrant church, a growing church, a church that is preparing a habitation for the Spirit of God. And I believe the Spirit of God is in this place. I've seen too many miracles. I've seen too many lives change. I've seen too many things take place for me to ever doubt that the Spirit of God is not real in this place. But let us never, ever, as a church or as a group, take for granted what God has given us and what God has blessed us with and His Holy Spirit that we can feel so wonderfully in our services. And I'm going to leave you with that tonight. I just want us to know that we are together in Christ Jesus. Amen. If the church can depend on you, would you just give a wave offering? Amen. Would you just give a wave? Say, yeah, count me in, brother. Count me in. Because I want the church to depend on me. You know, because we are going to have to depend on one another. Amen. That's what brings us strength. That's what brings power is when we're together in one mind and one accord. The unity, amen, of the children of God. And I'm so glad. Dad and Mama used to sing a song, I'm glad I'm one of them. Whatever one of them is, if they're talking about a born-again Christian, I'm glad I'm one of them. Amen. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Are you? I'm not ashamed of what God has done for me. I'm not ashamed to stand in the pulpit and proclaim that I was a rank sinner, lost and on my way to hell, but Jesus Christ loved me enough. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? I am so happy to be a part of the body of Christ. I am so excited. I'm so blessed to be a part of the body of Christ. And I love each and every one of you. And please understand, if I don't shake your hand or if I don't hug your neck, it's not because I don't love you. I just didn't get an opportunity to, because I love each and every one of y'all from the very bottom of my heart. And Sister Penny does too. We think of y'all as our children. We do. We really do. You know how grandparents are? You got any pictures of your grandkids? They flip out this thing, you know, and they just one after another. That's how y'all are in our lives. We love you that much, and we thank the world of you, and we just want us to be together. And when we're together, amen, who's going to come against us? Amen. If God be for us, who can be against us? Praise God. God bless you. Would you stand tonight? I love you so much. Have a blessed week, a wonderful week. Don't forget the announcements. Please be here. Make it a point to be here Friday night for our annual budget business meeting. We have several things that we're going to incorporate this year. God has blessed us, and we want to bring you up to date on all of that. Plus, we need the church to vote on the budget proposal. So make a point to be here. Amen. Need prayer, sister, for...